Our scripture this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I can breathe again. I need to apologize to everybody at the back in the sound booth because of all my stress this morning. So sorry, guys, but thank you for everything. This morning, we are blessed to have Mother's Day, and the children are so excited in honoring the mothers in their life, but also the grandmothers and the friends and the family. You each have had a strong part in connecting with each of these students. And so we continue to do ministry together, and I am blessed to be part of that with these children. As we heard the scripture this morning, there's moments, and I think about it, that I come back to ups and downs, right? For some, Mother's Day is hard. And it feels like a day of loss. And I think there's times in our life where that's a very real feeling. Life often feels like a series of losses. We bid farewell to cherished loved ones. We part with treasured possessions. And we watch as abilities and memories slip through our fingers like grains of sand. In the wake of these losses, we experience a profound sense of sorrow and longing, grappling with the inevitability of change. Because we want to cling to what is familiar, seeking solace in the hope that what we hold dear will remain steadfast against life's unpredictable currents. Jesus then arrives with a transformative message for each and every one of us that challenges our desires to cling to the things that we possess, the things that we have, that we want, turning our fears of loss upside down. In His teaching, Jesus illuminates the very paradox that losing can lead to gaining. Surrendering can result in receiving. And by what may seem like defeat can ultimately lead to victory. He flips what we know on its head. By emphasizing the importance of sacrificing oneself for the cause and for the sake of spreading the gospel, Jesus offers His disciples a profound insight into the true and abundant life and fulfillment in Him. In His words, He recorded in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, it resonates with this timeless wisdom. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? This teaching challenges us to reevaluate our priorities, to reconsider the deeper significance of our actions. It urges us to shift our focus from the temporary, the material possessions of this world, to the eternal treasures found when we align our lives with Jesus' purpose and principles of the gospel. When we embrace that understanding, that perspective, we discover the true fulfillment and lasting abundance are not found in amassing worldly wealth, but in the selfless surrender for the greater good. Now, I say all that, but I know that there was a time in my life where the front seat of my car was not ever considered selfless surrender. Not my car, my mom's car. The front seat of the family car, my brother and I wage our daily sibling rivalry. We probably still need to pray for my mom as much grief as we gave her about that front seat. As soon as we got in vision of the car, we yelled out that infamous word. Anybody know it? Shotgun or dibs. I heard dibs. I guess that one is a little bit better, but shotgun is it, right? He said dibs. But you yell out shotgun, and somehow that magical word gives you authority to have the front seat. I don't know who invented it, but it was real in our family's life. And it was such a situation of angst among my mother because we would argue about it and we would fight. Like, there's something magical. We're all going to the same place, right? As a mother now, I've said that we're all going to get there. Just get in the car. And in my mom's car, she had that conversion van with a TV and a VCR. Yes, I've dated myself. But we could watch whatever what is it now? It's not a VHS that we had. Most of the time it was on ET on repeat. I don't know why, but that's us. But for whatever reason, anytime any one of us left the seat, we thought, oh, now it's up for grabs. I can steal it. I can take it. It's mine. You lost your spot. Finders keepers, right? We even say losers weepers. But there's a time where maybe we feel like we really do lose something, not just the front seat. We experience loss and it affects us deeply, often leading us to prioritize and safeguard whatever remains. We may resort to locking away our possessions in an attempt to shield them from loss. I see this in my household quite regularly. In fact, just this past week, we experienced a significant loss when Lily Grace snuck into Addie's room and ate over half of the gluten-free Oreos that Addie had bought. The loss was heard for hours around our house. But in all jest, despite our efforts, losses will still occur. Even if we protect and hide away, and it unsettles us. Each loss, whether small or significant, serves as this reminder that reality often diverges from our desired expectations. So the author of this letter to 1 John was written to a hurting church, was written to a community that was being split. False teachers were coming in, and despite their best efforts, people were still sinning. And because of that, people were then afraid of what judgment was to come. The author writes and urges them very clearly to love one another and to love God, to believe in God, to walk in the light, and to trust the Holy Spirit. We've shared this throughout this series of see, hear, know. And then here at the end of 1 John, the letter, or possibly a sermon, how it was taken, talks a lot about testimony, our testimony and God's testimony. But in order for any of that to make sense to us, I think we need to back up just a few verses and read starting at verse 6. So this is 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. It says this. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. So no matter what people say about Jesus, the Spirit, the water, the blood continue to testify to the truth. In addition, God continues to testify, and what God says we believe is trustworthy. So what does this mean? One thing I absolutely love about the Gospel of John and the letter, the first John, the epistle, is that both tell us exactly why they were written. Sometimes we don't get that in Scripture, but I want to reference back John chapter 20, verse 31. We read, "But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." See, everything that was written in the Gospel of John was written down so that we might believe in Jesus and have life in His name. And then referencing our scripture, the last verse of today, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, I write these things to you, you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The community that received this letter, they knew Jesus. They believed Jesus was the Son of God. They struggled with sin and false teachings and divisions and all the things that so many of us in church communities find ourselves dealing with. And they were afraid. They were afraid they believed the wrong thing, embraced the wrong teaching, sinned just a little too much, and in doing so, they would find themselves removed from God's love. Everything that John wrote in this letter was written because what he wanted was for them to know God never fails to keep his promises. Did you hear that? God never fails to keep his promises. Even when human testimony is wrong, even when sin lingers, God is faithful. This community that believed in the name of Jesus, they could rest assured that they would receive eternal life. Definitely not because of their perfection, but because of God's faithfulness and grace. And isn't that amazing news for us too? The good news of Jesus isn't something we lose. It isn't something that we could have snatched out from under us. It isn't a game of who gets the front seat to heaven or all the Oreos in the bin. The grace of God is something that is given freely. And it's the one thing in this life that we can rest assured we will never, ever lose. I remember when I was a young girl, maybe about 5 or 6, and I was shopping with my mom. Now, this was a regular occurrence to the detriment of my father's wallet. But as we were shopping, I stood at the aisle looking at probably what was candy. And when I looked up, I couldn't see my mom. To this day, I still remember and thinking about it, I get that panicky feeling. Tears possibly forming in my eyes and a lump welling up in my throat at the thought of having been left at the store. I managed to barely squeak out the word mom over the tears, and there she was, standing just around the corner at the end of the aisle. She was only feet away from me, and I'm certain she probably never even took her eyes off of me the entire time, but at that moment, I felt I'd been forgotten. I was petrified. In moments of fear and doubt, we may feel forgotten by others, and at times even by God. We might even be convinced that we sinned just badly enough to have used up all the grace God can muster. But just like the Lord said to Zion through the prophet Isaiah, God says to us today, Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. See, I engraved you on the palms of my hand. I love the vision of this, knowing the sacrifice Jesus gave at the palms of his hands were engraved for us that we would know we've never been forgotten. So this letter to this community, it urged them sincerely to stop sinning. It warned of false teaching. And it urged them over and over again to stay strong in the faith. But in the end, what he wants them to know is that even in their struggles, in our sins, in our fear, in our broken relationships, we still belong to God. The water and blood testify, a reference to Christ's saving work on the cross. The Spirit testifies by reminding us of the truth, encouraging us and uniting us to Christ. God testifies. They testify together and they testify to the truth. We see that truth found in our scripture of verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God gave us eternal life through Jesus, and this isn't something that we just lose. I just recently, and I don't even have it on today, but a ring my grandfather gave to my grandmother that was then given to me after their passing. Just this past Christmas, it was Christmas, we were at Lowe's shopping. Yeah, because that's where we shop for Christmas presents. But as I was, amen, I heard an amen. As I pulled my hand out of my jeans, I felt the ring and the center diamond. Now, my grandfather was much more wealthy than I was. The center diamond had come out. And Lowe's is a big store. So I remember the panic, the sheer panic, and we just started retracing our steps. Thankfully, we hadn't gotten too far, but we start walking back and step by step, and I'm just constant dread. This ring it's a precious item to me. And John goes all the way the back where the water and salt stuff is, because we were getting that for our salt, our cleaner water thing. Words are leaving me right now. And we go to where the shower faucets are, because that's what Addie wanted for Christmas. And by some reason, the diamond was right there. And I'm absolutely dumbfounded that we could possibly find it on the floor at Lowe's. And I pick it up, and we drive over to the jewelry store immediately, and we get it repaired. But things that we think are gone, things that are very real in our lives, how much more precious is our faith in Jesus Christ? God gives us eternal life through Jesus. And this isn't something we can lose. It's not something that you can just take out of your pocket or fall out of your ring. We cannot lose the grace of God because it's a gift given to us. And this is good news indeed. And I think it's especially poignant that it's today, this Sunday, after Ascension Day. Now, let me back that up and explain. This past Thursday, people around the world celebrated what's known as Ascension Day, the day in Scripture where Jesus ascended into heaven and was taken in the clouds, and the disciples are left just staring at the sky. I love telling this story to the chapel kids because they're good at just looking up and looking confused. But then two men, as Scripture says, robed in white, come and tell them, He's gone, but He will come again. And it was the beginning of the exaltation of Christ in glory, and it's the moment when Jesus commissions His disciples to be the witnesses to the ends of the earth. This is the time when those men clothed in white promise that Jesus will return. It's also unique because I think we celebrate ascension of Jesus, but it also brings about a sense of loss. If we look back at the account of the resurrection found in John chapter 20, verse 17, we catch a glimpse of this. When Mary Magdalene encounters Jesus, he says to her, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So I hear this passage and I question, why? Why would Jesus tell Mary not to hold on to him? Some say that it's because Jesus' body wasn't really tangible. But I believe the Gospel of John goes to great lengths to speak against that. The reality of Jesus' resurrected body. He eats with the disciples. He invites them to touch his scars and he breathes on them. I think Jesus' words to Mary get at the heart of what she must have been feeling at that moment. She had felt Jesus' absence painfully during the crucifixion. In those days following the crucifixion, Jesus was gone. When she saw him, she wanted to make sure she never lost him again. She wanted to cling to him to make sure he never got away. And can we blame her? Jesus tells her, I'm ascending to the Father, my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You see, Jesus' ascension unites us to God. Because of it, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church, which we will celebrate next week. And even though it seems strange and backwards, Jesus' ascension vividly reminds us that God never leaves us alone. The gift of the Holy Spirit unites us to God through Christ. The movement of death and resurrection is a movement toward unity in God. I see this in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. The gift of the Holy Spirit was made possible because of the ascension. The Holy Spirit's presence is God with us in a way that's not confined to space or time. The ascension makes a way for us to have that uniting love with God through Christ. In our verse 11, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this is life in his Son. It reminds me of John 3:16. As salvation is so freely given, poured out for us if we would just but receive. It can't be taken from us. When we ask for that saving grace in our life, it is given freely and we receive freely. We don't have to be afraid. Our sins no longer separate us from God. We stand forgiven and redeemed. May you hear the love of God in your life. May you see it lit a fire in your presence as you celebrate God working in and through you and through the children and through the future generations. And may you know that you are never alone. In joys, in sorrows, God is with us. So in remembering all that we've learned through this series of 1 John, let's love God and love our neighbors with a reckless abandon. Let's confess our sins and strive to live more in and as the people we were created to be each day. In the darkest days and most difficult nights, may we forever be assured we're never alone. We're never alone because the gift of God's salvation is something we can never lose. You get dibs. You get the Oreos. You are found. You are his. Let's pray. Gracious and mighty God, we bow before you in all of all that you are doing. How you can transform our lives and set us apart. How you encourage us to follow after you this day and every day. Open us to be the people of God. Open us to proclaim your love in such a powerful way that speaks to our neighbors. speaks to our coworkers, speaks to our families. Challenge and convict us, Almighty God, that we would know your love, that we would see it in the people around us, and we would hear it proclaimed from the rooftops. Almighty God, this day, we want your salvation in our hearts and lives. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.